The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is June 23rd, 2016. It's a Thursday afternoon as I come to you with this live episode of BTR News. Glad that you could join us today on these digital airwaves. I hope as much as possible that my voice finds you in good spirits, in good health. If that's not the case, then I hope things get better for you. So we do have a guest scheduled for you today, one of our regular contributors from the Clear the Airways Project. Look them up on Facebook. Follow the work that those brothers and sisters are doing. We'll be joined by one of their representatives, Brother Kwabena Rasuli, will be joining us just about 10 after the hour. They do have a rally coming up this Saturday if you live in that area of, I want to say Chicago, but it's not Chicago, it's Gary. Gary, I believe. So he'll share those details with us. And again, it is very important, the work that they are doing. What are they doing? Clearing the airways. What does clear the airways mean? Clear the airways of whatever's on the airways. Well, what's on the airways? We talking about terrestrial radio stations, brick and mortar buildings that are in your community, like a community in Chicago, which Brother Rasuli talks a lot about, what's on the airwaves on the stations in Chicago, and what's on those stations that need to be cleared. And we have to start thinking of these stations in terms of community radio, because really, according to FCC regulations and guidelines, they are part of the community. It doesn't matter if they're privately owned. You just can't be licensed by the federal government and broadcast stuff that's offensive to the people in that community. All right, so that's why you don't really hear any white nationalists and what have you. And, you know, you will get like a Rush Limbaugh, but they're professionals and they get paid a lot of money because they know how to codify their language and blow, you know, what's known as dog whistles. Only racists can hear them, what they're saying. And, of course, if you're paying attention, other people, we pick up on these things too. All right, but if you have record companies who are paying off, coercing, whatever they're doing to get the same music from the same artists on your airwaves, and they talking about the same message or messages, which has got something to do with killing, got something to do with doing drugs, got something to do with selling drugs, got something to do with mistreating someone. That's 24/7, 24/7. and it's being sponsored by these corporations that try to portray themselves through their commercials and what have you as family-friendly places. But they don't want the community to be family-friendly, or obviously they would not sponsor through their advertisement all of this violent programming on the community airwaves. So looking forward to speaking to Brother Rasuli on that. After we talk to him, I do want to go over just some quick news items of the day. But my main topic for today, definitely looking for some input from anyone. We need to ask each other questions. It's not a matter of being right or wrong. It's about finding a solution. And these problems that are facing people, they are not simple. If they were simple, then I would believe they would have been solved a long time ago. So we had to break down and examine everything. No one is above examination. We all must also be willing to accept correction when we're wrong. I was reading a proverb today where it was saying that, I'm going to paraphrase it, but it says that a person who loves knowledge loves being corrected, but a fool hates correction. And fool is a harsh word. I was taught not to call people fools and what have you. So we'll say an unwise person hates correction. So, but I definitely want to talk about this action of John Lewis and other members of Congress. But John Lewis is being showcased, and he's stepping out front on his own. Nobody's putting a gun in his head and making him do a sit-in, possibly the first ever sit-in by members of Congress. Now, it's a long history, so I could be incorrect, but since I've been alive, I don't recall any kind of stories about congressional members doing sit-ins, sit-in-style protests. You know, the same kind of protest that these young people have been criticized for by people who are now applauding these congressmen, trying to push this, what I've heard from people who I trust, their judgment said it's a bad bill. I haven't had opportunity to read the bill and what have you. But to take our legacy, because it's not his legacy, to take our legacy and use it for a Democratic agenda when many issues have come up just this year alone pertaining to black people, especially Flint, Michigan needing those funds. They got blocked in the Senate, and there was no sit-in from any black members of Congress or whatnot. They may have said what they said and protested and said this is shame or anything like, you know, something to that effect. But, you know, they didn't stop them from taking any breaks and taking a weekend off. There was no sit-ins or nothing like that. But they sitting in now for a terrorist event that you can't stop, a type that you just simply can't stop. So we have Brother Quabena joining us now on our Skype studio line. Welcome to Black Talk Radio News, Brother Quabena.
Hey, brother, welcome, man. I mean, thank you, man. How are you today?
I'm doing the best that I can behind these enemy lines. Brother Quabena, before I forget, I made a mental note to correct myself, because I just read Proverbs to the listening audience about, you know, a person who loves knowledge loves correction, meaning they accept correction if they say something in error or shown, you know, more information that updates them. But a fool hates correction because he won't be right all the time. So I've been saying something. Some brothers unintentionally made me see something that I had been saying incorrect on this airways for, I don't know, maybe over a year. And I've been saying that it's a battlefield out there, and that we're in a war against, you know, racists and white supremacists and would-be white supremacists and their proxies. But if I look up the definition of war, war is between two nations, and we do not have a nation here on this continent. Okay, we are people without a nation. Black nationalists, that's what it's all about. Black nationalism is about establishing a nation. But let's not kid ourselves. We are not even united, let alone have a nation. And you gotta have to wage war with anyone, you gotta have two nations. And those two nations got to have a standing army. Where is our standing army that's fighting for black liberation? There is none. What we are doing is just accumulating casualties, victims, civilian victims of white terrorism, of police terrorism, of just slavery, 21st century slavery and human trafficking and all of that. So because somebody has said to me, I need to read this book, that book, they named a couple of scholars and whatnot who said we've been at war with Europeans or white people for thousands of years. And it's, when you really think about it, when I think about it, considering I spent 6 years in a nation's army, U.S. Army, and I spent 7 months in a war zone in the Gulf War. So it is it has been incorrect for me to say that we are on the battlefield, because that, you know, insinuates that we are in a war with a nation or a group of people or whatnot. And we don't have a nation, and we don't have an army, so we are not in war. We are, in fact, victims, casualties. War is being waged on us. So I'm sorry, I will correct my language, but again, I am not above correction, even though,
but you know what,
yeah, go ahead, brother.
I see what you're saying. That's cool, I understand that, but it's not too far from, because people, they characterize the war on drugs and the war on this and the war on that, and they're not always nations. But I like to say a lot of times that we're not at war because of what you just said. We don't have that army. We're not organized. I always say we're under attack.
Yes, that's more correct.
I would say there is a war on us.
Yes.
And, but what we have to do, I mean, there's plenty of battlefields in that war, like, you know, the one that you talk to me about every 2 weeks is typically, I mean, it's not typically, it is one of those battlefields in this attack and defending us against this attack on us. I mean, I understand what you're saying, though. I feel you on that. But I'm just saying that it's not all the time just against nations. It's against a certain group of people. It's against, like I mentioned before, the war on drugs.
But that nation, Brother Kwabena, Brother Kwabena, but isn't those people who are waging war on us, which we're in 100% agreement on, aren't they backed by a nation? Don't they control the politicians? So they have a nation. They're part of a nation. We are not. You know, I was reminded of John Henry Clark. Sometimes I play, or we play lectures, mix it in the programming when we're not on air live. And John Henry Clark was giving a lecture on this one I was listening to one day, and he was talking about, this was like shortly before his death, but he was talking about, are we prepared, talking about black people here in America, are we prepared for nationhood? And he broke down all the different elements, the different skill sets you need, the things that make up a nation, you know, according to how the powers that be define what a nation is. And we here in the diaspora, or in especially behind these enemy lines of USA Inc., we are not a nation. We've been striving for hundreds of years to establish one, you know. But I have to say, you know, technically, we don't have a nation, we don't have an army, so therefore, we don't have the power to wage war. War is being waged on us.
Yeah, you're right. We've got to get these warriors to help defend us. And
right.
Attack against us. You know what, brother?
People like you, Brother Kwabena. You see, you're a guerrilla. You part of that guerrilla army. I'm sorry, but the small band of soldiers who don't have much support, and they come out the jungle and they hit this target, they hit that target, and your targets are the radio stations to clean up the crap on the airwaves. Your targets are the businesses that's sponsoring them. So you're waging war. You are, but I'm saying as a people, we don't have a nation, we don't have an army, so we just have pockets of resistance, and you know, that's why I bring you on here every 2 weeks to talk about that resistance, because war, that what you're fighting against is a war tool. It's called propaganda, okay, and it's being used to cause us to even wage war on ourselves. Well, you know, I mean, or let's just call it commit acts of violence against one another. But what you got coming up, bro? Mike is yours.
We lost the warrior, man. Speaking of warriors, man, because, you know, we'd always say we need some soldiers, and this brother has so much good insight and information and so much creativity. he would always say, no, we need warriors, not soldiers. We need soldiers just go blindly in the stuff. Warriors know what they're fighting for.
True.
We lost a true warrior, and you've been on conference calls with us on the Quit Airways Project, Brother Kwesi Ron Harris. He battled cancer for had stage four almost 4 years ago and battled it until he just transitioned a week ago Friday.
Our condolences. We offer our condolences from the Black Talk Radio family.
Yeah, but this brother, man, like, helped spearhead and really organize this battle against Brown and Williamson Tobacco Company, which handles cool cigarettes. When they had this cool DJ mix contest, where they were using the elements of hip hop to get new smokers, to try to get new smokers to use. They would have events like DJing contests, rapping contests, and they would be giving out cigarettes at these concerts, passing them out to the youth.
Mm-mm-mm.
So he thought it was going on. He organized so many of us, Cool Herc, and before we knew anything about what Bam was accused of being into, Bambada, people from Zulu Nation and locally in Chicago, our organization, other organizations to get together. Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. was right there with us, and we fought and we kicked Brown and Williamson's butt, and attorney generals went after them. They had to fold, and they ended that Cool DJ Mix contest. And so our brother, man, he's our inspiration to thinking that, hey, or to knowing that we can do something against these radio stations. So, man, we just want to give a good shout out to that strong blacktivist. And that's another word he would use. He would say, not just activist, but blacktivist. And give a strong shout out to him, man. We're going to honor him, too, on our Crazy Airways Project page. So y'all look out for Brother Kwesi Ron Harris and call on him during libations. He was the last libations that I was with him at the ceremony for Delbert Blair.
Yeah.
Who was another bad brother who just recently made the transition.
Well, I'm sorry. Before you tell us about this other brother, let's go ahead and you said you shared it on Clear the Airways Project. Let's hear from Baba Kwesi.
Now, brothers gonna bless us, because you know I know brother go hard. He wanna keep it 100. Keep it what now?
100.
And he gonna give a little something extra on the blunt piece.
And it's not the wild 100s. Ain't nothing wild about us. We allow people to put these labels on us if we go out and act the part. Put the label on. I don't want to out-thug you. I want to out-love you. So let's start loving. Sister talked about the blunt, and that's a powerful piece. And I don't want to lose this opportunity, because I know there's some warriors in this room that's got to go and share this knowledge to some other warriors that are becoming fallen warriors. When you think of that blunt, you need to think about it from a perspective of chemical warfare. A good friend of mine's and me and Enoch, brother Coach Powell, we wrote two books called Message in a Bottle, Volume 1 and Volume 2. In Volume 2, we devoted a whole chapter to the issue of blunts, tobacco, and nicotine. In our latest book, Hip Hop Hypocrisy, When the Lies Begin to Sound Like the Truth, we expound on it even more. But in that book, we talked about the blunts and its connection to malt liquor. One of the things about malt liquor you need to understand is you can take a chicken bone, a raw chicken bone that ain't been cooked, put it in a bottle of malt liquor, come back later, and guess what? The bone is gone. More and more we're seeing young people showing up with osteosporosis. You know what that is, right? If you don't, it's the A class. You're going to get your A. It's a deterioration of your bones and joints. So while you get your breakfast on for champions of winners, you're really becoming losers. That's malt liquor, but a lot of times with the malt liquor, we find young people got to have a fat one to drink the big fat one. And so as Sister was saying, on the tobacco farm, there's a vermin that hangs out called a rat. And the farmer seeks to kill the rat with a product called either arsenic or asinine. You know, those are the poisons that he uses. Well, every cigarette that is sold in that box goes through what's called a process. Everybody say process. Because you need to understand it's a process on eliminating you. And that process of that cigarette that it goes through is clean. It's washed. The tobacco is cured so that it can be used for your consumption. Now, the cigarette or the tobacco leaf that didn't get clean or didn't get used, it got thrown to the side. But the tobacco industry don't throw away nothing. They use everything. Now, if you killing a rat, and it's in the case of killing something, there's always something that develops a what? An immune system to defeat the thing that's killing them. So those are the rats that release rat pee-pee and rat poo-poo. Now remember, that leaf didn't get clean. So when the young brothers, see, we're going to have a lot of surgeons in the African-American community, because brothers do surgical operations as well as sisters. You open up the blunt, check. You open it up and you do a transplant. You release the organs, the tobacco, and you do a transplant of now replacing the tobacco with the what? It's the teachable group. I know you know what it is. You want the block. You put the marijuana in it, or the grass, or whatever, the kush. And I hate the fact that you even take a name of one of our ancient empires, Kush. Kushite people. And you name a weapon to destroy us after the glory of who we are as a beautiful people. That's what happens when you don't know your forgotten history, as the brother said. But let's hurry up, because I know we got more people. Now, when you put the marijuana in, you gotta now pull up a lot of, as sister said, spit to seal the what? The scene. You gotta seal the scene. And so you lick it. You licking rat pee-pee and rat boo-boo. That was laced with what? Arsenic and cyanide. Now, dig this. When our children, because they're still our children, you go home to kiss your boo, kiss your girl, and your shorty, the tobacco industry now has killed three for the price of one. And that's why we got young brothers showing up in the emergency room now, Enoch, with ancestors with these dark rings around their lips. Check the doctors and they'll tell you that they are dying a slow death because they've been predisposed to arsenic and cyanide poisoning. So the next time you see somebody rolling a blunt, you need to knock it out of their hand, because that's another warrior that we're going to lose on the front line to fight the fight for that one life we got to live. Check.
All right, that was Baba Kwesi talking about the weapons that they aim at our communities. Do we got you back, Brother Kwabena?
Yeah, you got me back, man. Man, that's beautiful, brother. She shared that brilliant brother with the people, man. We appreciate that for sure.
Oh, no doubt. For sure. No doubt.
And one of the things he would do, like I said, he's our inspiration, one of our main inspirations for Quit Airways Project, with us having the audacity to think that we can get these mass media beasts to stop poisoning our children. So he's one of the main ones that gives us that inspiration with that fight, with that warrior spirit that he had and has. And we need to call on him from the ancestral realm, because one of the things that he did, he was for libations when somebody was a big thing was happening in the city of Chicago or elsewhere. Kwesi was the man to do it. And so one of the last ones I saw him do was for Delbert Blair, our great scientist. Delbert Blair was no joke. He just transitioned. And so Kwesi was able to speak and share libations at that program. We'll be sharing that on our page, too, because he will let them have it.
He called
on the ancestors.
He just answered a question for me, because I always ask this question when I would go to, like, the local convenience store here. I live in a rural, predominantly, white county with pockets of black people. But I go into the store, right there on the counter is this blunt paper with Lil Wayne picture on it, stand at me, and in his glasses and what have you. And I'm saying to myself, now, not that I'm anti-cannabis, but the federal government is anti-cannabis, and they didn't put a whole lot of people into modern day slavery over cannabis. For those that don't know what I'm talking about weed. So I'm like, then why are these licensed businesses paying taxes to the government, selling stuff that is openly advertised as an accessory for a substance the federal government deemed illegal? Now he's answered that question for me. The poison them. with these with these corporate products.
Beats and Blunts, and if y'all get a chance to check out again Hip Hop Hypocrisy, which is one of the references we use when we present on our Clear the Airways presentations. I mean, again, he was one of the inspirations and provided a lot of information for Coach Powell concerning that Dynamite book. And so, yeah, we honor that brother. We're going to continue to honor him. And I just got to have this shout out, Brother Kwesi. And, you know, even looking at that, I mean, we're dealing with so many issues right now, even in the city of Gary, where so many schools are being closed. Now they're trying to close more libraries in our community. Mm-hmm. And we were at a meeting last night where the brother said, like, it's a done deal. And I had to say, brother, it's not a done deal. They said the same thing about that prison, that GEO prison they tried to put in Gary. It's a done deal. They said the same thing about school city of Gary just had an attempt to lay off all of their custodial workers and all of their maintenance workers. That's a done deal, too, is what they said. No, we fought it. It's not a done deal. Are they going to try to come back and do it later? Maybe so. But you got to at least fight this, and you got to be optimistic in your fight against these things that are wrong.
Right.
And they're wrong. Right. It's wrong for them to be laying off people who live in the community when we're already struggling in this community. It's wrong for them to close libraries in our community where our youth don't have the computers like a lot of people have in their homes, where they count on these libraries. Well, we need to have places where we can meet and gather and organize. Don't close them where we can go get access to these books. And no, do not close them. We need to fight against radio stations where after 54 people were shot in the city of Chicago during last weekend, 54 people, including a 3-year-old baby, where they could be on Monday afternoon playing a song bragging about how he has his Glock in his Rari. I got a Glock in my Rari. You know, 18 shots, 27 shots, whatever Fetty Wap says, and then repeats it again. I got a Glock in my Rari. That should not be on any radio station, especially in the area when you had 54 people shot just that weekend, just before. And we can fight it, we must fight it, and we are fighting it.
Do you think people understand the direct correlation between the programming and some of the behavior? I'm not going to blame all of the behavior on the radio, because I just can't qualify that, you know, backing it up with facts. But based on studies or whatnot, I mean, there have been studies to show a connection between the media program and make you believe and act. I mean, they've done the research out there for you to go look up. Don't ask me to pull it up for you, as some people will always ask to do when you state something. But do you think people are really getting a direct correlation? I mean, even, okay, for example, we know there's a lot of churches and spiritual people or religious people in our communities. That's a spiritual principle. You know, it's even a saying about garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage out, yep.
You know, that's an old saying.
Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. recently said, you know, getting all this toxic, music, why do we think the behavior is poisonous?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he said, and people know, you know, when I talk to the youth all the time, I just saw a sister on this campus that I work on the other day, and she had her headphones on. She plays on a basketball team, and we talked about it. She's like, yeah, it has a terrible effect on us. And my little sister's listening to this stuff, and I'm like, how do you listen to that crap? But she was herself listening to some Drake at that time, but she said, yeah, they admit all the time when you ask the youth, it has effect on our peers, on our people, that violent music. So we don't blame them. We know that it's being force-fed to them. And what we need to understand and what we have to do, and again, our goal is to get this crap off the air before the end of 2016, is we have to fight against it. And we have to, you know, we have to fight against it. And we're going to win. You know, we're going to win. It's just a battle. And some people, probably some people last week, and they were saying, man, you know what, Kwabena, you know, I used to do that, but I think that now that we should just, you know, I got this group of people that I meet with now, and I'm looking out for them. I'm working with these youth, showing them an alternative. And I said, sister, right on. That's what you should do. And we should all do that. And I do a conscious hip-hop radio show every Friday night called Weekly Wrap-Up right out of Gary, Indiana. And that's what we do. We share alternative, too. But in the meantime, again, I stated again, I'm continuing to state it, I don't care if they're black owned, but these are European owned radio stations targeting black children with messages of stripping,
Well, a lot of them are.
And they can't be allowed to continue to do that.
And Radio 1 is owned by Kathy Hughes, and most of their, they have their same stations playing from the same playlist that the white owned Clear Channel or whatever corporation owned whatever station. But she was like, she was questioned about it years ago, and she was like, you know, well, it pays the bills. You know what I'm saying? That you know, the conscious talk radio, the Sunday, you know, type gospel Christian stuff, that don't really pay bills. You know what I'm saying? What pay the bills is violence and sex and negativity and whatnot. I think that's just, no, I don't think, I know that's an excuse. That's an excuse. Because whatever is in the marketplace, the people don't have no choice but to consume it. Okay, so you're just using that as an excuse to get them to consume poison, you know. So, man, it's so frustrating. But I do need to take a station identification break. If any other listeners or those on the conference line, our studio line is also open. If y'all have any questions or comments on this topic or subject, anything discussed, give us a call. Studio line, our Skype studio line is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. The conference line, 641-715-5030. 3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. That's 549032 pound. Hit star 6 and 1 to enter yourself into the queue for questions, and we will go to a question on the other side of this break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News on the Black Talk Radio Network, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. We'll be right back.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Do just want to give you a friendly reminder that there is an ongoing crowdfunding campaign for black media. We do not, as a nonprofit Black Talk Media Project, that's who the crowdfunding campaign is being managed by. But it does not apply for any kind of grants or anything. We did in our early days, but we've gotten along for 8 years without accepting money from some of these institutions that would get us hooked on that money and then exploit us, and then we're pushing their agenda instead of the people's agenda. So we do want to remind you that this is listener-funded radio. The platform is supported by those who use it, and you can purchase, for a $25 donation plus shipping, you can get one of our Black Radio Stations Matter t-shirts as a thank you gift. So check that out. There's a tab on our blacktalkradionetwork.com page, as well as blacktalkmediaproject.org, the home of the nonprofit, and you can find out more information so that we can continue to grow and build out independent black media. Let me go to the phone line. Sorry to keep you on hold through the break, but area code 414, thank you for calling in. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, Brother Scotty, thanks for taking the call. It's Rob calling from Milwaukee.
Peace to you, Rob.
I don't know if I thanked you the other day for sharing that personal story with me. I really appreciated that. And
you're welcome
to the guest today. The reason I'm calling, I'm in Milwaukee, man, but I was born in Gary, St. Methodist Hospital. I was lived in Glen Park and Marshalltown. And I left Gary when I was about 8, 9. I'm 35 now, and I haven't been back. That's how bad it is. I think the last thing I heard about Gary is they had to call the National Guard in there. And I just wanted to take my hat off to you, man, because you're doing the work. I'm in Milwaukee right now, and it's bad here. And I know Gary probably worse than this, you know. So I just want to take my hat off to you and then just share that little piece. And thanks for taking the call, Scotty.
And you got to, you got to come back out and pay a visit, man. You've been, that's been a while. And, yeah, we hear about struggles in Milwaukee and Gary. And like my brother Diallo says, containment areas where we live all throughout this country are struggling right now. And so it's good to hear from a homeboy, I guess.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call. Anytime you want to chime
Q&A
back in.
Q&A queue is cleared.
Just hit *6 and 1. Did you tell us about, you mentioned a second person who has joined the ancestors that has been in the struggle, warrior in the struggle. Did you share their names with us?
Yeah, that was Brother Delbert Blair.
Delbert Blair?
Delbert Blair, yeah. I mean, this brother is like, he was like a, he kept it real on the metaphysical level. Metaphysical level. He just was able to do a lot of research on black people, on melanin, on different types of games that people deal with. He had the Meta Center in Chicago for quite a while. And this stuff, he would talk about all sorts of different things that would amaze you, but truly a true positive African who did a lot of research for the people. And a lot of people weren't aware of what Delbert Blair, a lot of stuff that he dealt with in terms of conspiracies that were going on. And you know, he would tell you, hey, you got that blue light on your television. they're using that to be able to see what you're doing. So he just does a lot of things. He talked about extra low frequency waves and energies, sexual energy dangers, and just all sorts of. He was a scientist, you know, a bad, brilliant brother. Again, the medicine is what he ran in Chicago, and a lot of people knew about a lot of stuff he did, but a lot of people didn't. So he just really, we really miss him and the work that he did too. Well, he just left out of here. I think it was right before or right after Dr. Francis Cresswell. So we losing some serious warriors now, and we just gotta, like they say, be able to pick up that fallen weapon and continue to fight. And so we got a lot of weapons that are laid on the ground right now that we got to pick up and get back to work on.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing both of these ancestors with us today. And I shared the post you made on Baba Kwezi on our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network. And I just shared about an hour long or so long lecture that was given by Dr. Delbert Blair in 2015. So that's on our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network. Brother Kwabena, y'all have a... another protest coming up. Where is this one going to be? I think it's going to be on July the 2nd, so that's like a week away or so.
Yeah, a couple weeks, a couple days away. We're going to be again at the third biggest advertising black media, McDonald's. Well, I believe they're like the largest black advertiser on black slap out radio throughout the country. But we're going to be at the McDonald's on 35th and Grant Street in Gary, Indiana, and demanding that they stop buying commercials on these radio stations that tell black children to kill each other, and which is a constant. And every time, like every other time they do a commercial spot, at least every other time, you hear a commercial from McDonald's advertising their triple cheeseburgers right after Lil Wayne and said he's going to leave you on your porch bleeding for your mama to pick you up. Or right after Future then said he's going to shoot you in the back like Ricky from that movie Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
Right after that, there'll be a McDonald's commercial. So we'll be out again. We need warriors there. You know, like our brother Crazy said, not soldiers, we need warriors. We need y'all to be out there understanding why you're out there. That's in defense of our children. Our children can't fend for themselves. So we're going to put a stop to this. Black Music Month, again, this past weekend, Juneteenth weekend, Father's Day weekend, 54 people shot in Chicago, 12 of them were killed, including a 3-year-old baby was shot. So enough of that. So we're trying to put a stop to that crap. So, yeah, come on, check out the Facebook page, get more information on the Queer Airways Project, understand the Rage Against the Ratchet. Somebody asked about the statistics and the things that lead to, the connection between this propaganda in this music, which is our culture, culture which is defined as a people's way of life, and how they're using that against us. I mean, Do Better Now is a group out of Jacksonville, Florida. They've compiled a lot of the statistics that show you that if they give you one violent reference on iHeart's station that they have to target white youth in Chicago, the one that they have that targets black youth gets 50. They give them one sexual reference on a station that targets white youth in Chicago, WGCI will give you 25 for the one that targets black youth. So we understand the connection of that propaganda and how it affects us. And so we're not saying too, Scotty, that once you stop all that crap, that we will the murders will cease to happen. There's a lot of deprogramming that has to go on right now too, because yes, of all sir. These years of this toxic crap being poured into our heads.
Right, so and they're gonna need resources. And they need resources because, you know, there's also that poverty connection.
Yeah, exactly. So that's like I said, you know, you mentioned earlier, you started off talking about wars as concerning these attacks on us, but there are plenty of battlefields of these attacks that are taking place, and this is just one of them. We feel it's one of the main ones because it has to do with culture. And again, like we said earlier, culture is the people's way of life.
At best, I could say that there's a black guerrilla resistance in terms of guerrilla. That means irregular army, not a standing army, loosely, you know, affiliated civilians and what have you, civilian warriors. And, you know, so I would say that we do have pockets of that. You are right. These are battles. But, you know, that's why I bring you on every week, because I know you need help. I know you need warriors. We need warriors, you know, in every one of these cities or little towns or whatever. This, you know, whether it's a predominantly black or white community, this kind of programming should not be on any FCC regulated public terrestrial airwaves, that on a community radio station, regardless of who owns it. You know, that's just my opinion on it. But I got one question. You know, well, it's not really a question, and I don't want to come off like I'm calling this person out. Okay, even though they were kind of rude and when they commented on something I posted last week from Clear the Airways Project concerning McDonald's, and this person just didn't seem to get that McDonald's is, we could say, indirectly, directly responsible. You know, by saying, you know, when I go into a McDonald's, I don't hear them playing that kind of music, and then you not, because that's not the public image they want to put forth. But, you know, we're seeming to ignore the fact that they are sponsoring this type of garbage on these radio stations. And this is a type of person that will complain about the programming, will complain about the behavior, but there just seems to be a mental block that when then you point to the people that's really in charge and hold and running things and hold the power and profiting the most. You know, and speaking of McDonald's, man, you know, I've been seeing this commercial down here in North Carolina for McDonald's, and I always, you know, had thought of them as the one of the corporations using prison slave labor, using contractors that use prison slave labor to make uniforms and plastic utensils. So I already don't like McDonald's for that. All right.
Exactly.
But then, you know, when you come on here and make the connection to how this poison is being funded, this propaganda, war propaganda is funded, you know, then I'm looking at this commercial, come on, let me get a what they call it, a McPick 2 or something. They got all black people and they singing it and they rapping it, and then, you know, one girl in the parking lot at the end, you know, this black woman, you know, she sang it so, like, you know, she Fantasia or somebody, you know. And I'm like just thinking about all the harm that this corporation, we ain't even gonna talk about the harm of the food that it's causing to people who eat that fast food, but then the other stuff that we wouldn't even connect them to unless we had people like you.
Look, we can talk about it. I'm glad you did bring it up, because that's another big issue with it, man. But we have a couple signs we have that McDonald's is directly responsible for the behavior of our youth by sponsoring that crap. And we have another one that says McDonald's doesn't care about black children. being killed or being murdered. So you're absolutely right, man. And so this person, a lot of people are confused. So why would Rush Limbaugh lose 13 sponsors for calling Sandra Fluke the European co-ed slut about 3 or 4 years ago? Why would he lose 13 sponsors in 2 days? Because they don't want to be associated with that type of crap. But yet they can call black women, our mothers, our daughters, our grandmothers, B's and H's, 24/7, 365? Nah. No. And you sponsor that? Mm-mm. So, Scotty, you know, before I run, man, if I can real quickly break down these four things that we want people to do.
Yes,
to help
sir.
Us assist in getting this out. We want them to listen and complain. Take our heads out of the sand. A lot of people say, I don't listen to that crap anymore. It's not listening to it in my house. But monitor it. Listen. If you hear some indecent or offensive or violent lyrics, file a complaint with the FCC. We got the website on our page. It also have it on Rap Rehab. They have it on several pages. We can file a complaint. Number two, call the stations. Write the stations when you hear this crap. Number three, work with, support, join organizations and movements like Rage Against the Ratchet, like the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People, or better known as CMOTAP, or Clear the Airways Project, or Do Better Now. We need warriors in these organizations. The fourth one is economic sanctions. Do not support these businesses that advertise on these bio stations and let them know why. Those four simple things. And, bro, we're right at the precipice of putting a stop to this crap. I'm telling you, on July 2nd, if we can get 20, 30, 40 people to shut that McDonald's down, one lowly McDonald's down, it would make an impact, and it would make a change. So that's what we're hoping to do. That's what we're going to do. But we desperately need warriors with this, bro. And we appreciate you, man, and what you do on Black Talk Radio, bro. You're one of them ones. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Now, you won't be with us next week, and that's the weekend of the next action that you are taking. So give any details out on that.
Okay, it's in the spirit of our warrior we just lost, Baba Kwesi Harris, who would be out there with his brothers in Chicago. One of the things this brother used to do, I can share with the people now, he said that the billboards, they were having these billboards for this alcohol and this cigarettes and all that alcohol in our communities. He said they would wear white suits like they were going to paint, like working to paint the billboard, and they go over there and just cover it up. Just cover up the billboards in the community. Buff Kwesi, that's the kind of work he would put in for the people. So he would always tell me about that.
That's a guerrilla tactic. That's a guerrilla tactic.
Mm-hmm. That's a warrior tactic, guerrilla tactic, yes. So, yeah, so we are, again, we're going to meet at 10:30 in the morning at the McDonald's on 35th and Grant Street in Gary. We're going to have signs, just going to have information to share with the people. And we just want the people not to go to this McDonald's. We can have this, nobody show up at McDonald's for the hour and a half, man. I'm telling you, a great impact it would have. And it's because they advertise on radio stations that every time our children turn the radio on, their mothers and their sisters and their aunties and their grandmothers and their daughters are being called B's and H's. They're being dropped, N-bombs are being dropped on them. Dozens of N-bombs and some in all these songs. They constantly call us the N-word and constantly tell us to pop Molly and kill each other. And bro, I just still today, after even monitoring this, it's still hard for me to fathom that we've come to this. It's just still hard for me to understand that we've come to this, and it's even harder for me to understand that we haven't stopped it already.
Yeah,
and we have it on the radio. Nah, we got to stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Brother Kwabena, thank you again so much, you and all the other warriors out there that is engaging in this very important counterterrorism action. So thank you, bro, for all you do. Peace.
Peace.
All right, that was Brother Kwabena of Clear the Airways Project. You can find them on Facebook. Follow the page. Not only follow the page, but on Facebook, you got to take a couple of extra steps after you like the page. Then you got to check off, you know, the notifications that you want to see, like all posts or certain posts from it or whatnot. So it's not just enough to like the page. We ain't looking for likes. We're looking for you to get the information that we put now. So make sure you take that extra step. A lot of people don't know that about Facebook. All right. So, I'm going to take a quick break. and we're going to play some God Life beats from our brother Sincere Naquari. And then on the other side, I will just share some quick news that I think is important. Not going to spend a whole lot of time giving you commentary on it, share the headlines, you know, and a summary of what it's about. And then we're going to come back. I want to talk about, as our main topic, and obviously we're going to go over an hour today, but John Lewis. Not just John Lewis, but he represents a lot of other people, black people in Congress, and they are acting as proxy agents of liberal white supremacists. I suspect some of them are naive to how they're being used and what have you, but John Lewis is on another level. Okay, he's on another level of proxy racism, and we have to talk about these things. To ignore them is to ignore yet another weapon of warfare that's being used to wage war on us. Okay, he ain't up there waging war for us. He waging war, you know, being used as a tool to wage war on us. And some people, again, you know, I try to give them benefit of the doubt and say, you know, this person just naive, especially if it's a young person. Then I try to consider their background and their schooling, as Brother Dave would say on Tando Radio Show, how they've been schooled to behave, the type of media they may have consumed all their lives. And so we got a lot of damaged people walking around. So I try to take all those things into considerations. But then at the end of the day, if you are engaging in incorrect behavior that is going to bring harm or supports, you know, the harm that it has been done against black people or any person, any injustice, anything that's supporting injustice, then you have, for the sake of our children, so that they don't grow up confused, we have to use these people as examples and explain what about their behavior we find to be so incorrect, you know. So, 'cause that's so our children won't be confused. And look, the children are watching. The children are watching. They're watching you. They're watching you talk about, you know, people who are let's just say, you know, corrupt. Talk about corrupt people like they're not corrupt. And that, again, possibly because you don't know. But again, if you don't know, when we're talking about certain politicians that's been in corporate officers of USA Inc. for 25, 30, 35, 40 years. This John Lewis has been in Congress. I don't remember exactly when he went in. I don't know if it was like in the 70s or the 80s or did he come in the 90s. But this dude has been up there a long time. So he has a track record, just like every other member of Congress has a track record. You can see what they voted for. You can see, you know, what they stood up against and tried to stop from happening. But like I said, this is the first time in my lifetime since I've been paying attention to, you know, what's going on in this big worldwide or this wide world that we live in, and the people that's controlling, that are in the power, that's doing the most harm to people. Since I've been paying attention, I ain't never seen members of Congress do a sit-in like this. Now, I remember the black congressman after Trayvon Martin was killed in the grassroots propaganda campaign with the million hoodies was launched on social media, and, you know, LeBron James and the Miami Heat took part in that. All kind of people took part in that. We, you know, because of what they said about Trayvon Martin and you know, people don't minimize what that is, any kind of impact that may have in resistance to racism in the system, because it's propaganda. That is people saying, you know what, we reject you. We reject your justification of Trayvon Martin wearing a hoodie and, you know, and that justify him getting killed, or that makes him dangerous. And we reject that programming. That was an exercise of mass rejection of a propaganda point that the mainstream media has been putting out there for a long time. And I was glad to participate in it. Man, I even took a picture of my little, how old was Micah at the time? 3 years old. I put on his little hoodie and took his picture and put it up there too. You know, No, we are not. So, you know, symbolism is important. Symbolism has its place and what have you. But this kind of symbolism right here by black people for an agenda that's not even going to benefit their constituents, because most of the places where black people live, especially in urban areas, they already got some of the toughest gun control in the world. Chicago got some of the toughest gun control, and it ain't stopped killings. All right. Now, in terms of these mass shootings, these white boys going crazy, and Mateen Omar would technically be classified as white on the U.S. Census as an Arab. They're classified as white. Okay. So we see these white people go out here and commit mass acts of murder. Well, you know what? That's not something that's affecting the vast majority of people. There are more people on a cumulative basis being killed by police officers every year, over 1,000. You're just talking about 50 people there, 30 people over there. And it's all tragic. It's all tragic. But let's not go overboard, though. And then they put in some Trojan horse legislation that's going to lead to what? More suffering, more injustice, more power for the slave catchers and what have you. So these are things we really have to talk about. We can't just, you know, number one, I was thinking about this earlier. If you getting all your news from corporate media like MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, and you never consider any of the alternative information, whether they are YouTube channels or whether there are radio stations like ours, whether they are blogs, you know, the Black Agenda Report. I mean, just so many others, and you never consider any perspective but that of the corporations, which have a history, a documented history of colluding with the government to lie to the people, then I understand why you sound like you sound and why you don't know what you don't know. So again, I'm trying to be empathetic, point out the problem. Let's not be angry at people for being ignorant, especially when an apparatus has been put in place, you know, for hundreds of years, you know, going however long radio been around, however long television been, mass communications directed at the civilian population, however long that's been around, they have been programmed. The entire population, white, black, whatever, everybody's being programmed. But they break it down into demographics. That's why we're called Black Talk Radio. You know, some people didn't understand that, you know, that, but that's an industry term. That's an industry term right there in the radio industry, black radio, black talk radio, because we're appealing to that demographic and what have you. So, but we have the, as we talked with Brother Kwabena, these stations not run by us, or if they are run by us, you know, so that they can, I guess, their excuse would be pay the bills and have nice salaries so they can have nice homes and stuff like that, then they don't go off the unapproved script of that the corporations want them, you know, to play, or the type of programming that they approve. So, you know, because you will never hear Coca-Cola, any of these companies, they not coming to Black Talk Media Project and saying, how can we advertise on your station and whatnot. I've had small businesses and whatnot inquire about advertising on the station, and then I'll be saying to myself, hey, you listen to the station, and then I'll tell them what the rates are, you know, send them the little PDF file with the rates, and I never hear from them again, because then they go listen to the station. So the type of programming that you hear on this station, it's not approved. It's not approved. So when you, as a listener of this station, of the various programming on this station, when you're out there in the public and you're talking to other people or you're listening to other people's conversations, you don't have to even say anything, you know, before you get in, let that thought enter into your mind, you know, think of them in derogatory terms, just consider everything that has been aimed at us in all people activity areas to distort stuff, to just manipulate our minds. Media really is that powerful. So I'm going to go ahead and take that break. Man, I think I missed the call. I did not hear the call. Come on, sometimes Skype, man, they do that. So if you want to call back, the last caller that tried to hit us on the studio line, that's 704-951-5030. In the meantime, though, let me take this station identification break. I need to take care of something. In under a minute, we will be back. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Wave your hands in the air, and wave them like you just don't care. If the party's hype, and you're feeling nice too, yeah.
On this relief, brothers and sisters, you can see many concepts where they came in, as I said, like scavengers and picked different pieces. On this particular relief, you can see where the Western world through Judaism took a piece of a concept of the creation story from. You can see where the Greek philosophers took a concept of Greek philosophy from. And you can also see where Christianity took a concept, European Christianity took a concept from. So let's break it down. Fashioning man on the potter's wheel out of clay. This is where Judaism took a portion of this to make up their Genesis story with the Sanhedrins around 250 BC. From this relief right here of God fashioning man and woman on the potter's wheel. And they took other concepts of Atum from Heliopolis creation story or the city of On to make up their Adam as a man when actually it was Atum the son.
All right, we are back. You're tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. Again, today's date is June 23rd, 2016. It's a hot Thursday afternoon here in North Carolina. I heard reports it was like 98 degrees. So I was listening to the Lotus Place last night, and Sister Black Rose, based in Texas, and she was talking about how hot it was. So make sure that you're drinking plenty of water. You know, they say you should have at least 8 glasses of water, I think, you know, a day. Make sure that you stay hydrated during this very, very hot season that we are in, because we, you know, certainly heat strokes and stuff like that. We want to prevent that. So staying hydrated will help you. That ain't drinking beer. Don't drink alcohol and all. That's not hydrating yourself. OK, drink water. All right. So let me just go over a couple of news stories that you can find on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. Let me see. The van driver, the Baltimore slave catcher who was driving the paddy wagon that had Freddie Gray in the back, seat unbuckled and whatnot, suffering from an injury, groaning, moaning, begging for help and whatnot. He was found not guilty in Baltimore in his trial. The Baltimore police van driver who transported Freddie Gray during his deadly ride was found not guilty on all counts. That's New York Daily News. The SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, upholds affirmative action programs. This is a story that I actually reported on. Abigail Fisher, a young white woman in her 20s, who did not get into the University of Texas, so because of her grades and whatnot, and possibly her extracurricular activities that were lacking, like, you know, she wasn't on student government, wasn't in the band, wasn't a cheerleader, wasn't, you know, didn't do anything. Those things matter when they go through applications deciding who gets in a university and who does not. So she, you know, probably used to getting her way and whatnot and being told, you know, man, look at them non-white people, them black people, they going to school and you know, this is your heritage or whatever they tell people, you know, this is your privilege because your skin is white. So they took them all the way to the Supreme Court. You know, and like I was discussing with a family member, you know, this is a young person who, Abigail Fisher, not that I'm trying to solicit any sympathy for her, but just trying to be objective and look at things without being emotional and whatnot. This is a young girl brought up the way she was brought up. So her parents is responsible for any flaws, character flaws that she may have. But her case was picked up by people who go around looking to overturn affirmative action or any kind of reparations or things they perceive as reparations going to black people. All right. That's really why they against affirmative action, because they perceive that to be some kind of reparations for the enslavement of black people. So let's go. That was a very important case. Let's go ahead and take a listen to it, to the news report about it. But she lost in a nutshell, so just waiting for it to...
We're going to go to Washington and the Supreme Court. As you may know, these have been the waning days of this court term, and we, as Jose pointed out at the top of the broadcast, are waiting for some potential landmark cases in the areas of abortion, immigration, and affirmative action. And as the graphic on the screen says, we have had a decision just handed down in what was billed as the landmark affirmative action case of this term. We are waiting to be able to go to our justice correspondent Pete Williams in Washington on the court grounds. Pete, what is the decision?
It's upholding the affirmative action at the University of Texas, Brian. It's a 4-3 decision now. We knew we were not going to get a tie vote in this case because Justice Elena Kagan had sat this one out. Both times it's been at the Supreme Court because she worked on this case when she was at the Justice Department. But by a 4-3 vote, the Supreme Court has upheld the affirmative action program at the University of Texas in an opinion written by Justice Anthony Kennedy. Now, it does say that the court's affirmance, the court's agreement with the program, I'm quoting now from the decision, doesn't necessarily mean the university can rely on that policy without refinement. It's the university's obligation to engage in constant deliberation and continued reflection regarding its admission policies. In other words, here, a kind of grudging agreement with the university that the a use of affirmative action is needed in getting enough diversity to make a quality educational atmosphere. That was the university's argument. So two things flow from this, Brian. First of all, this is a huge defeat for the people who brought this case to the Supreme Court. A white woman named Abigail Fisher, who was denied entrance to the university. She claimed this was reverse discrimination. And the people who brought this case to the Supreme Court were hoping that this case would be a vehicle that the Supreme Court would use to strike down affirmative action. That clearly is not going to happen. Secondly, as for what other universities can do, it is a sort of modified green light to continue with affirmative action at other universities. The University of Texas at Austin, which is what this case involved, was a special case because state law says that the university must admit the top 10% academically of graduates of every high school in the state. That automatically gets the university some diversity. The university said we need a little more diversity after that, and so for the rest of the admissions, we wanted to use affirmative action, and the Supreme Court today said you can do that.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching.
All right, as you just heard, that was a report from MSNBC. And again, so she was not in the top 10%. She was not an academic standout. I'm assuming her scores, you know, were minimum. I'm talking about her SATs and all of that. So she just, it was nothing that made her stand out over and above other applicants or whatnot. And so instead of going somewhere else, which from what I was reading, her family's very wealthy, she could have picked any other school. But again, I feel like adults could have pushed her to be the plaintiff in this case against the University of Texas. And as I stated, you got law firms out there that look for cases like this to take pro bono and whatnot, so they probably didn't even have to pay no legal fees. So the Supreme Court, in a close decision, 4-3, determined that the colleges and universities can use a form of affirmative can use not a form but affirmative action in their program admission programs and what have you. So that's good news, you know. But then, you know, I think about that, and I'm thinking about this video that we posted to Black Talk Radio. This news is on our Facebook page again. But I saw this video of Yvette Carnell and this black guy. I don't know the guy's name, but they were having like what you might call a fireside chat. And it said, the title says, Black People Killed Bernie. The People Summit Conversations Number One. So that means there are going to be a series of these. So make sure you subscribe if you want to subscribe. But I'm not going to play it. But one of the things that they talked about was, you know, this talking point that I know from my reporting and doing this program, you know, we're talking points straight from the Clinton camp. But all of these black people saying that shooting down the ideal of free tuition at public colleges and universities, again, not at private colleges like Harvard, Yale, and all of that, but in any university that's getting public taxpayer funds, that's a public university. So he talked about, without getting into the details, there was a way to pay for it, despite what they were saying. How you gonna pay for it? Ha ha ha, that's stupid. Black people just want something for free. Of course, black people wasn't saying other black people just want something for free. They were just saying these people. What people do you thinking about? They are talking about who would stand to benefit the most? Who needs the help? Like Neely Fuller says, Mr. Fuller says, you know, justice is about the people who need the most help getting that help. And who needs help in the area of education more so than poor and middle class black people in this country? And see, what a lot of these black people don't realize is they didn't look at Hillary Clinton's donors and lobbyists and all of that. But she's tied to a company that has donated to her, that's how they make their money, is off of these student loans. And they don't want to see any legislation whatsoever to take away that industry from them or to cause them to lose any kind of money. That's why she's about reform and not providing what I would call reparations to black people to be able to get degrees at public colleges and universities. That's a form, you know. So they talked about that, you know, and black people, a lot of black people, not, I shouldn't, you know, use general terms, but a lot of black people I was listening to on the radio, or I heard in conversation, or, you know, in corporate media or whatnot, you know, but they were just shooting it down. Just shooting it down. And like, it's like they thinking that we're Oprah rich or something. We're all Oprah riches. And then John Lewis, who we'll talk about later, was one of those people. Talking about when he was working in the fields of Alabama or Mississippi or wherever the hell he's from. and I was slacking off my chores, my mama told me that to get anything, you got to work hard. And nothing's free in life and all this and that. But I bet you he voted to give that $40 billion welfare check to Israel. He was not saying nothing about Israel pulling itself up by its bootstraps. You're not part of the United States of America, Inc. You don't pay into anything. You don't pay taxes to us. And we know you got free universal health care for your people, and you got, you know, access to higher university for Jews and whatnot in that country. So, no, you just want free stuff. See, that pisses me off to no end and makes me angry. Not angry to the point that I'm illogical, but I mean, it's just, it's injustice. If you know, you don't get angry at injustice, then, I mean, damn. So, that's something they talked about, black people killing Bernie platform, that shooting down that. So, that, you know, never again should these people, well, that tells you they will never bring this up again. 4 years from now, 8 years from now, 12 years from now, long as these people are still in Congress that said that type of stuff, you just kill any kind of future support for that. Don't you pay taxes? Don't your sons and daughters bleed in their wars? Wasn't this country built on the backs of your ancestors through slavery and prison slavery and all this and that? Don't you think you owe something? So again, for black people to be saying this is just totally illogical, and it lets you know that a person like John Lewis has sold out to a racist white woman, and we all know her name. Another story, I don't recall Democrats having a sit-in to support a public health care option or to not bomb Libya, where we saw tens of thousands of black people murdered and killed, and other people as well, other Libyans as well, by these Islamic jihadists that the Obama administration sided with. No, I ain't dealing in right-wing conspiracies. It's all about telling truth, people. I'm just to reporting the facts. If you don't like who the facts are attached to, how is that my fault? How am I doing anything wrong by reporting stuff to you that happened? And so they use these jihadists. You can go watch the YouTube video as they killing Muammar Gaddafi, the prime minister of Libya, and yelling, you know, their, what they say, Ali Akbar, or whatever it is they say. Now we look at, you know, Libya and what I don't recall anybody. And one of my criticisms of John Lewis, who likes to point out the fact as often as possible, he marched with Dr. King. Dr. King said the U.S. government is the greatest prevalence of violence throughout the world. He was anti-war. How many wars has John Lewis voted for? He certainly voted to authorize what happened in Libya. No sit-in saying this is unjust. Where is the intelligence? Where is the State Department getting this information that Gaddafi is slaughtering his own people? Because these other reports are saying that these are jihadists who are taking over Benghazi and just killing Libyan citizens and whatnot. And so Gaddafi, being responsible for the security of his citizens, deploy troops to deal with these terrorists. So they told you the lie that Gaddafi was using African mercenaries hocked up on Viagra, just raping people. I mean, just the worst stereotypes of black people, you know, African barbarians and you know, man, damn it. Makes me angry, man. Anyway, let me move on. There's video proof DNC pulled strings for Hillary Clinton all along. That is a report by the Young Turks, as more and more as the DNC had its servers hacked and it's showing stuff that was written up to help Hillary Clinton win against no matter who she was running against. In other words, Debbie Wasserman and all the superdelegates and the corrupt party leaders were going to make sure that Hillary Clinton ended up with the nomination, but they still couldn't do it despite their shenanigans because she still fell short of the required pledged delegates needed to secure the nomination. She has not secured anything until she goes to the Democratic National Convention in July, where the superdelegates will cast their ballots for the first time. And here is another article. Hillary Clinton will be down one superdelegate unless, you know, Shaka Fatah is out on bail while he appeals his conviction. But the congressman, member of the Congressional Black Caucus, a Clinton's backer, supporter, superdelegate, Shaka Fatah, was found guilty on corruption charges. He's a Democrat out of Pennsylvania, a Hillary Clinton superdelegate, and he was convicted this past Tuesday on corruption charges stemming from a racketeering conspiracy. And then that answers a question, a philosophical question I put out there about what kind of person, a politician, a grown person who should know or done the research on the Clintons, how could you back them? How could you co-sign on to them except you be just like them? You are a kindred spirit. You don't see anything wrong with rigging elections. You don't see anything wrong with shooting down free, you know, tuition at public colleges and universities for black people. But you support giving $40 billion unprecedented welfare check to Israel, not to mention all the billions of dollars you give these other countries. So she'll be down a superdelegate unless he's out on appeal and they allow him to vote at the DNC convention, which if I was him and I was out on bail and they try to stop me from voting, I would point out the fact that the woman that I've been backing is the first presidential candidate ever to run for president while under an FBI investigation. So how the hell you gonna nominate somebody like that, let them participate in the process, and my conviction is under appeal? You know, man, I tell you, man, the Democrats, man, they have a lot of people across the nation, superdelegates, mayors, senators, stuff like, over the past few years, man, a lot more of them been caught up in these public corruption investigations than Republicans. And y'all know I don't carry water for Republicans, but the truth is the proof. I can only tell you what I see as I look at the news. So can't think of FBI. The FBI tried to lure the Orlando shooter into a terror plot in 2013. So, you know, we talked about, reported on the FBI using paid informants, some of these guys making up to $100,000 per assignment. And they set people up. They find vulnerable people, people who may be mad, homeless people, activists, and then they play like they are activists and they act all empathetic to whatever it is bothering that person, and then they make suggestions about things involving terrorist plots, and then at the last minute, you know, the FBI swoop in on a tip from the informant who actually orchestrated the plot and then arrest everybody. So they are saying they tried to get Omar Mateen in such a plot, but he wouldn't take a bite at the apple, and so they weren't able to get him for that. So and last thing, the federal government is alleging, I should say the U.S. Justice Department, under a U.S. attorney Loretta Lynch, they have arrested up to 300 and something people, man, alleging $900 million and fake medical bills, kickbacks, and other healthcare fraud. No, this was not a bunch of people. This was not poor people on Medicaid or anything like that, abusing it and get, making money off of it some kind of way. I don't know, selling their prescription pills. And no, these were healthcare providers. These were doctors. These were licensed therapists, physical therapists, pharmacies, and things of that nature. You know, people with million-dollar homes, and you looking at them as outstanding citizens, and so they have got caught up. It's being called the largest medical fraud takedown in history. I remember during Attorney General Eric Holder's term, he had a couple of big busts during his term in this medical health care fraud and what have you. I'm trying to be objective here as it pertains to Loretta Lynch in the investigation into the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton's private email servers, and saying that, you know, I just don't know, man. Is this woman going to help them with the cover up? Is they going to help cover up for this dangerous white supremacist by the name of Hillary Clinton? And if you got Hillary, you got Bill too. So that's two dangerous white supremacists on the planet. Putting them in a position with even more power. Is she going to go down like that? Because she's known as a stand-up attorney and, you know, known after going after white-collar crime on Wall Street and, you know, when she was in New York as the U.S. attorney. And then all these public corruption. I just mentioned they just busted a Democratic congressman, Chaka Fattah. I think they investigating NYC Mayor de Blasio, another Clinton superdelegate who endorsed her in the New York primary. They just got four cops connected and two businessmen connected to his fundraising to become mayor. One of the businessmen was on like his inauguration planning committee and what have you. So I'm saying that I'm holding out just a little, holding on, I should say, a little bit of hope that this black woman in this position uses that position to practice justice. Because I don't need to see the grand jury who has been issuing these subpoenas and whatnot. Oh, y'all didn't know that there has been a grand jury convened? Of course, that's how they're able to subpoena people to interview them and what have you. I know Clinton said that everybody's cooperating and whatnot. No, grand juries have issued these subpoenas and they ain't got no damn choice. So I'm holding out just a little bit of hope on this case that Loretta Lynch shows self-respect, shows that she's above politics and she won't be used as a tool for racism and white supremacy and injustice, and that they indict that criminal, man, because they need to. There are so many things Hillary Clinton and the Clintons should be in prison for, not just violations of the Espionage Act and the federal record laws. All right, so that's all I got to say. Well, one last story. I share this story on Flint because I'm at, you know, that'll be my segue to talk about John Lewis in Congress. The Michigan Attorney General is suing a French company by the name of Veolia, I think it's how you say it, in Flint, Michigan water crisis. The Michigan Attorney General on Wednesday sued French water company Veolia and a Texas firm for botching their roles in the city of Flint's drinking water crisis, saying that, I'll just read this excerpt, many things went tragically wrong in Flint, and both criminal conduct and civil conduct caused harm to the families of Flint and to the taxpayers of Michigan, Shute said. In Flint, Viola and Land, L-A-N, were hired to do a job and failed miserably. Basically botched it. They didn't stop the water in Flint from being poisoned. They made it worse. And then they, falsified documents and whatnot. So, that gives me a segue into John Lewis. Where was John Lewis and the other members of Congress when the Senate blocked, I think it was over $100 million or so, I'm not sure the exact amount, the bill that was moving through Congress to provide federal funds, because President Obama said, I can't do it, this ain't a natural disaster, this is a man-made disaster, and I can't release FEMA funds to deal with this and what have you. So Congress is going to have to pass legislation. So there was a bill working its way through the Senate to, you know, provide some funds, some money to address the water crisis. And I think we've done some reporting in the past, whatever the amount was, we deemed it not to be sufficient to do everything that they say need to be done. But one of them Republicans filibustered it, blocked it, whatever he did to block it. I did not see not one single politician, not even one from the state of Michigan. I'm talking about federal, either the Senate's, a Michigan senator or a member of the House of Representatives. I didn't see a single person do anything special or out of the ordinary to bring attention or to say we must vote, we must pass this legislation as we have people who have died as a result of this. We have Americans drinking poison water, bathing in poison water, washing their clothes with poison water. The infrastructure is so bad, we must help these Americans. We give all these tens of billions of dollars away to all hundreds of billions, trillions even, to all these other foreign countries to help them with their water needs or other humanitarian projects or even their defense needs and their ability to wage war and what have you. But we're going to let this bill die and not provide that relief to these Americans in this man-made disaster, this criminal act, this act of terrorism against them. Then see John Lewis, you know, Flint, I heard that the predominant population in Flint, 60-something percent black people. I didn't see John Lewis staging a sit-in, sitting around with black and white folks singing We Shall Overcome, an old Negro spiritual from back in the 60s and what have you, what they were singing. I think they sung it on the mall of the Washington Mall at the first March on Washington. They were singing We Shall Overcome someday and all of that to force a vote on a gun control bill after they already tried to pass four bills in the past week that failed. And so this one I heard is not that good. And that the Democrats even refute what this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to put people that are on the so-called terrorist watch list, a secret list that the United States maintains and whatnot. You know, some people call that fascism and whatnot. These people haven't been convicted of a crime or anything like that. Now, I can understand keeping a list, but when you're talking about keeping that list and you haven't proven anything about these people and you're talking about taking away their rights and punitive damages or whatnot, so the Democrats apparently just wanted, you know, no, you can't buy a gun, period. All right. And the Republicans, I heard, offered a compromise and say, well, there'll be a 3-day waiting period. That's something I mentioned on Tanya Free and Friends show in the early days of this. You know, we do need common sense legislation. You know, we do want to address this as much as we possibly can. We'll never stop it. But I would be willing, as a person who can legally purchase firearms, I'd be willing to wait 3 days to get my firearm and go through this background check. That I'll do that. I'll sacrifice that. I don't need it right away. Who needs something right away, you know? I don't need it right away. My hunting trip ain't till 2 months away. I can wait 3 days. And they wouldn't even agree to that. The Democrats wouldn't. So they want to stage a little sit-in and what have you to invoke images of black young black people sitting in at lunch counters, sitting in at you know, wherever they were sitting in at, wherever Bernie Sanders was sitting in at, and he got arrested with that black woman and dragged and whatnot. And, you know, speaking of Bernie Sanders, John, you know, we're talking about character. We're talking about so our kids know what's correct behavior and incorrect behavior. And it was just wrong for John Lewis to front for a super PAC that uses a confusing name to make you think it's the official Congressional Black Caucus, but it's really a super PAC taking money from corporations to lobby for bills that many issues that were harmful to black people, like, you know, cigarettes, as we was talking about, Brother Quabana, they taking money from Newport and all of that, the malt liquor companies, and even the private prison companies. But for him to give a press conference, them announcing their endorsement of Hillary Clinton, okay, so you endorse this corrupt, evil witch, all right? You could, hey, you endorse, okay. Can't nobody force you endorse somebody else. Hey, you endorse her. But did you have to throw shade on Bernie Sanders, a fellow civil rights veteran, and say, I never saw him? As to insinuate to people, this guy's civil rights credentials is a fraud. I never saw him. Even though I know that he was a member of the Congress of Racial Equality. I know he was also in the same organization I was as a student, SNCC. He was in Chicago. I was in wherever I was in the South. Oh, man, that speaks to character to me. It ain't no white versus black on something like that. That's character. That speaks to care. He was willing to get up there and tell a bald-faced lie and throw shade on a fellow civil rights worker to justify his endorsement of a woman who helped implement the worst mass enslavement we've seen in the past 150 years. That's just really low. That's just really low. But getting back, you know, to the Flint thing, you know, man, those people still suffering. Those people still need relocation. I heard, seen a headline, President Obama talking about this attack is going to increase his resolve to increase the number of Syrian refugees that they bring here to the United States. So, you know, they don't live in a harmful environment that's dangerous to their health. But no such thing, no such words for the victims of the Flint water crimes. And it's just wrong, man, because as I heard Yvette Carneal, where I saw a post she made, she said the civil rights legacy or any black resistance, that belong to all of us. That don't belong to John Lewis. And he's misusing it. He's misusing it for something that's not on my black agenda. I don't know about your black agenda, but I'm not trying to give up guns. I'm not trying to be, you know, just making it more and more difficult so these people can disarm us and what have you. I live in an area where I'm surrounded by potential terrorists. I don't know if they're terrorists, but I hear gunshots and what have you, people target shooting and whatnot. I don't want to be behind these enemy lines unable to protect myself. And so that's why I need an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. That's why I need, you know, even though that's not what he used, but that's why. We don't need them for hunting. We need them for self-defense. So if I got a doggone single shot load my rifle as all these doggone white supremacists is surrounding my house trying to burn it down while we're in it, you know, that ain't worth a darn. I need semi-automatic rifles with a capacity, with a magazine capacity of at least give me 15 rounds, man. Come on. At least give me 15 rounds before I had to reload and protect our property, protect our lives, protect our liberty, protect our dignity from potential terrorists. And that has actually happened to members of my family here in the 60s, and John Lewis has allowed these people to use him to push a false black history upon us. It was not all violent. Dr. King used that as propaganda. The nonviolence was propaganda. He meant for them TV cameras to record young black teenagers and college students being attacked by dogs, being hit with fire hoses. If you do your research, he says this. You can find it. He says it. So these images will go out to the rest of the world, and then they will put pressure on the United States once they see the inhumanity and barbarity of these people.
He didn't do that because this is the only way we gonna overcome injustice is through nonviolence. It was a tactic. Now, I'm going to be real with you. He did have a concern of if all white people band together against all black people and there was some kind of shooting war, that there would be a tremendous loss of life. Of course, there would be. But who's to say who would win that? Vietnamese was vastly outnumbered, outgunned, didn't even have air power or whatnot, but they fought a guerrilla style that allowed them to inflict casualties, to make the public, the invaders, lose their stomach for war. But Dr. King was using that as a propaganda tactic. The man had plenty of guns in his home. He had armed guards around his house all hours of the night and day. He getting all these death threats. You think they were just sitting up in there with no means to protect themselves? Okay. Let's just keep it real. The man even applied for a conceal and carry permit. And the racist police department didn't want a black man to have a gun. Why? Because when they come shoot you down, they don't want to risk getting shot themselves. So, no, you can't have this concealed carry permit. The very thing that they want you not to have is the very thing you should be seeking to obtain. Then, you know, all of the Deacons for Defense, there's been books written about them, a movie, Forrest Whitaker was in it. I never saw it, but they provided security for the armed security for the civil rights movement, the Freedom Summer, all of that. When they also came through, when they were trying to integrate the public accommodations on the bus line, when they came to Monroe, North Carolina, where Robert Williams and, you know, he was in the NAACP, but he also had the NRA chartered Black Guard. Also, you know, organized and participating in self-defense tactics and war tactics and whatnot. And then when them crackers, them racist terrorists, tried to pull them white and black people off that bus, where they actually did firebomb the bus and then was going to kill them if not for the armed black men who came to their rescue and got them out of there. You cannot divorce guns and weapons from the civil rights movement unless you are trying, you're running a propaganda campaign to disarm black people and to have them implant this passivity in their minds where you got the enemy telling you how to protest, how to fight back, how to resist. Come on now. And where does that ever make sense? And then they don't follow their own rules. Look at the Supreme Court decision to allow them to use illegally obtained evidence to put a person in slavery. John Lewis issued a press statement from sitting on his ass on the floor of Congress today or yesterday. Since, I mean, he ain't doing nothing. I'm sure he can text or make a Facebook post or Twitter. And, oh, by the way, while I'm sitting here, that was surely atrocious liberty, anti-liberty decision the Supreme Court handed down the other day. And it's going to affect black people the most. And I'm very concerned about that, too. Not a damn word. Nothing. Nothing from him. Or nobody else sitting on that floor. I haven't seen it. Don't let these people tell you what your legacy is. Don't let mainstream media tell you what your history is. You dig it up for yourself. All right. Stop being lazy if you, you know, are on the internet and you challenging people. Well, provide me some sources of what you're saying. Damn it, you know how to use search engines. You know how to use keywords. Stop being lazy or stop deflecting. when you come at somebody like that, that means you don't have a logical counterpoint to what they're saying. So you're just trying to cast doubt on their credibility, because like then, like you paying them to go do all this research and find the links and post the links and the bibliography and all of that kind. No, hell no. You go look it up. You got access to the internet just like me. And challenge me on any information that I'm putting out. Or correct me, because I am not above correction. I love knowledge. So therefore, when somebody trying to share knowledge and know from their own research that I may have this certain thing wrong about history or wrong about an approach or wrong about this or wrong about that, then present the logical counterpoint to whatever it is, you know, that we're not seeing eye to eye on. Because you might teach me something or offer up something to me I had never considered, like I was mentioning earlier today, about black people not being in the war. Because when I say black people, I'm talking about black people here in the United States. We are not in a war with white people, white races, or anyone. We're not at war with anyone because we don't have a nation and we don't have an army, a standing army. What we have is a resistance. We have guerrilla fighters, a small pocket of resistance going on. But in terms of fighting a war, we ain't fighting no war against nobody. We don't have the power nor the resources to wage war on anyone. Just like we can't practice institutional racism because we're not in charge of any institutions where that's occurring. So it's all about looking at things from as many angles as possible and considering all sources of information. Just because it might be coming from some white man who's a right-wing conservative and he's saying something about Hillary Clinton, and that don't mean he lying. Yeah, he hate her because she a Democrat. He hate her because the Clintons have made a lot of enemies. But let's look at what he's accusing her of here. Like Donald Trump's accusing her of something, things of being a crook and making money for the Clinton Foundation to go into their pockets and salaries and their friends, and by selling, you know, approving weapon deals to foreign nations that had donated to the Clinton. That's because Donald Trump is this, that, and the other, and he may be all of those things, including the racist. Don't mean he lying. So that's pretty much all I got to say is, you know, don't fall for this political theater that's going on in Congress. They had an opportunity to get a bill passed with a 3-day waiting period for people who are on this secret watch list that shouldn't even exist. But they didn't want, they want to make this an issue for Hillary. They didn't want to pass nothing. Then that's not an issue on the table for Hillary to use to scare people with. So that's my program for today. It is Thursday. Tomorrow I will be talking about tomorrow's the anniversary of the founding of the Organization for African American, Afro-American Unity, founded by Malcolm X, Dr. John Henry Clark, as well as some other black nationalist leaders. So we will be talking about nationhood and black unity throughout the black world, whatever label we want to use, African descendant, Afro descendant, whatever. We know who we're talking about, black people, the ones being targeted by the racist global system. You know, so we'll be focusing on that tomorrow since it's the anniversary, because I do believe, I'm one of those people that believe you'll never achieve 100% unity. That's just not possible. It's not being realistic. But if we can just increase the what little unity we do have, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. So if we're at 10%, 10% of people are, black people are unified of a single mind to fight for black liberation, that's a good thing. And if we can raise that to 20%, well, you double the number of warriors you have in your, you know, guerrilla force. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow, the 24th. So, yeah, that's June the 24th on Friday. Tando Radio Show is coming up here in just a bit. I'm still waiting to hear from Brother Robert and Sister Cece about Blacks in Business Radio to see if they will be doing a live program tonight following Tando Radio Show. So, but Tando Radio Show is coming up at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Before I go, again, just want to remind you of the crowdfunding Black Media campaign that's going on. For donations of $25 or more, if you pay for the shipping, we will definitely send you a Black Radio Stations Matter t-shirt that also says blacktalkradionetwork.com, as you can help us, you know, in our propaganda campaign to spread awareness about the importance of black radio stations, black media in general, but also, you know, to help us raise the money we need for our propaganda operations. So, with that said, recognize the fact that we are seeing a bunch of casualties occur behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. And so, we don't have an army. We don't have anybody that's engaged in warfare against them. And so what you're going to have to do is just start practicing defensive living and taking steps to minimize your contact with police and slave catchers first and foremost. Minimize conflict with other people, period, as much as possible, because out of conflict, we see violence arise and people lose their lives and whatnot. So I'm just saying, just be cautious out there. Don't be in fear. Fear is a terrible thing. Fear, 9 times out of 10, is not useful. It's just not. Because fear, how most people react is they are paralyzed. Fear paralyzes them. They're unable to defend themselves. They're unable to take the action that they need to eliminate the threat. So we do not want to allow fear into our spirits, into our hearts. But we do want to acknowledge the realities of what is going on, what it looked like, the things that's happening. So we want to be cautious. Don't want to be fearful. We want to be cautious. Right? So that said, stay tuned for Tando Radio Show coming up at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. This has been Scotty Reed with an episode of Black Talk Radio News. Peace and blessings to all.